Tell me something. Have you ever heard the saying that has someone ever said to you when you're down and out, you know, and you feel that you haven't got a hope, there's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, of course. Have you ever felt like saying, I guess I'm out. I'm out. I struck out. I'm out of the picture. Well, you know, that's kind of giving up, isn't it? I mean, your world can fall apart all around you, but still, unless you've given your life over to Jesus Christ and believed in what happened at Calvary, don't throw in the towel. No, don't throw in the towel. You see, when you are weak, then you are strong. That's the title I've given my message today. Part one, when you are weak, then you are strong. You know, some time back I produced a sermon entitled The Power of the Weaker Vessel. The reference, of course, was to the Christian wife and was not intended as a personal analogy of women in general. No, but rather to those who are a part of the body of Christ. If we look in 1 Corinthians 9:22, the Apostle Paul writes, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. That's 1 Corinthians 9:22. Read it for yourselves. Now, if we look over in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul writes here, now listen carefully, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in precautions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for, here it is, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Did you hear the last phrase? When I am weak, then I am strong. For Christ's sake, right? For Christ's sake. I want you to stay tuned. This is heavy stuff. And I think it's something that we should cling to. We should give serious thought to if you haven't already. Let's say a quick prayer and then we'll get into the Word. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for this message that you've laid on my heart, Lord. I pray that ears would be unstopped, Lord, and that hearts would be prepared to receive it the way that it was meant to be received. For I ask it in Jesus' name. For His sake, amen. You know, my point is, when a woman now, regardless of her physical capabilities, employs the attributes that God has given her as the weaker vessel, then and only then is the power of God upon her and using her for His glory. Have you got that? And using her for His glory. Not for man's glory, not for her own glory, but for His glory. You see, this is when she is really strong. Strong. She's strong. Have you got that? Nowadays, empowered by women's liberation, it's the most difficult. It's the most difficult thing for a good Christian woman to fully adhere to. The weaker vessel. Nobody wants to be called the weaker vessel, whether it be woman or child or whomever. But God refers to the woman as the weaker vessel. They all want to punch the man and drive the bus on their own. That's what they want to do, to prove themselves that even though they are physically, in most cases, the weaker vessel, they are strong as any man. And perhaps that is so, intellectually. But the woman, according to God, is referred to as the weaker vessel of the two. If I got into a wrestling match with my wife, for example, I don't want her to win. And I don't want her to want to win. Do you see where I'm going? If I am any kind of a man whatsoever, unless I'm, you know, ailing and I'm sick, she shouldn't win. But if she overpowers me with her intellectual capabilities, I must accept defeat. You see, the onus then is on her. Should she defeat me mentally speaking or physically speaking? Should she defeat me, her husband? Well, not if she respects God. The Word of God says that she's not to have power over the man. And it's not like, hey, you're copping out. You know, that's that monkey, you could drive him sideways, 7 ways, Saturdays or sideways, or whatever they call it. But you know, that's not what God wants. God refers to woman as the weaker vessel. Doesn't mean that she's less than man. Okay? What's happening to us? If I get into a wrestling match with my wife, I don't want her to win. And I don't want her to want to win. I want my woman to be a soft landing place when I come home from a 12-hour working shift. I want her to pray with me every day on our knees. I want her to be the weaker vessel. For only when she's weak can I be strong. Another illustration, a lost puppy dog weeps at your door. You have the power to do whatever you will. You can give the dog a kick and chase it away, or you can lift it in your loving arms and cater to it. So it is with your husband. Not to say he is a wimp, no. Although that very trend is quite evident today. So, he broke your mother's favorite vase. Or he came home late from work and the supper was cold. The same wife, the same woman, the same person of which the Word of God describes as the weaker vessel, the one who earlier took the little puppy to her bosom. My question is, should you not do likewise to the husband and father of your children? And when you are weak, guess what? Then you are strong. When you are weak, then you are strong. This is the power of the weaker vessel. I opened today's sermon by reiterating the importance that God is placed within the power of the weaker vessel. There is nothing more valuable. Nothing more valuable. Not at all. But you know, the power of the weaker vessel does not only apply to the woman, but also to society in general, in the home, in the workplace, in the public eye, wherever you may go, whatever you may do. The message you're hearing, I pray it will shed more light on the role of every member of your family. God made us to be who He wants us to be, not to be out there competing against each other because we're a different sex. No. In no way do I now or have I ever considered myself as a male chauvinist. No way. No way. Nor do I place myself in a higher realm. I am simply a man, a Christian man, who desires to follow Jesus Christ. That's what I am. I am a husband, I am a father, I am a grandfather, and several times a great-grandfather. So I guess you could say, I've been around the proverbial block a few times, huh? Oh, yeah. I bear no titles of divinity, and I ask for none. All that I know about God and His family are taken from the King James Authorized 1611 Bible, which I believe to be the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of the living God. I do. In the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31, verse 3, the Word of God says, "Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings." Why would God say this? Why? My friends, we are living in a world that has far exceeded the limitations of which God intended. In the beginning, God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. It's not George and Bruce. It's Georgina and Bruce. Why male and female, you ask? Well, two reasons. So that man would not be alone, and so that they may be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now, when God made man, He made him in His own image. So, what does that tell us? It tells us that God and man, if both could be seen, are structurally alike. Physically speaking. This is further proven when Christ, who is God in the flesh, is seen upon the earth. Woman also has many attributes of God with some obvious differences, of course. Let us break it down to grassroots level, where even children can understand that difference. Okay? First, God made the man. He made him as a fully grown, God-like specimen in His own image. And when He created Eve, the first woman, He did it a little bit differently than when He made Adam, the first man. God made Eve by taking a rib from Adam's side. She was called woman. Woman. A derivative of man. Are you with me? Hang in there. Now, God never intended that man and woman should sin. Turn against Him. However, being omniscient as only God is, He knew that Eve would be the first human being to sin, having eaten the forbidden fruit. And don't say apple, because we do not know. Could have been a peach, a pear, a plum, a pomegranate, an apple, an apricot, an orange, a cherry, a grape. Forbidden fruit. Consequently, since sin entered in by the woman, this meant that Eve was in the transgression. Eve. All right? Hang in there, ladies. As a result, and also because it was God's intent, man would be head of the woman. Head over the woman. Now, as you know, a number of changes have occurred over the centuries that are not in accordance with the Word of God. And if they're not in accordance with the Word of God, then they're out of whack. If God doesn't like them, then they're no good to Him, and He will not bless them. Pictures and drawings, well, you may have seen seen them of cavemen, dragging their women around by their hair. They're nothing more than man's contrived images of his dominion over women. That's all they are, and they're not intended to be published. Many women have excelled in their lives, and not because they were physically stronger than man, no. But mostly because man allowed himself to become the weaker vessel than what God had intended. Sure, God wants man to be weak in some areas, but man was also given the strength, the power to look after his wife, to look after the woman. Accept this or not, ladies. Today I doubt you will accept it, but a woman's place is still in the home. Not as man's slave, but as his mate. Have you got that? Not as God's slave, a man's slave rather, but as his wife. As for intelligence, aside from the mentality challenged, I do believe that God played the role of equal opportunity employer, if I may put it that way. Now, before moving on, allow me to state emphatically, God did not create a third gender. If you got that, God did not create a third gender. And where they do exist, seemingly, is the result of sin. Either yours or another connected with you, or by God's permissive intervention concerning reasons we are not familiar with. No. See, we don't know everything. God does. An example of this might be a birth deformity, such as limbs deformed, blindness, deafness, or an inability to learn. But God is not an ogre. No, He's not. He allows what He allows for a purpose, for a reason. He allows it. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Did you know that because God made us in His image, both spiritually and physically, considering Christ, then we must also conclude that the soul of man desires to imitate the soul of God. The soul of God. However, since God decreed our oneness, He also allowed us to seek Him out freely. The love that is ministered freely is said to be richer than a mountain of gold. Richer than a mountain of gold. When that which is of good report becomes a seed planted in God's garden, rest assured it will spring to life in God's workmen. In God's workmen. I will not build my sermon around the weaker vessel to show condemnation or ridicule in any way. However, I will borrow from Revelation 2, verse 4. Listen carefully. Revelation 2, verse 4. Nevertheless, said Jesus unto the church at Ephesus, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Thy first love. Ladies of Christ, is Jesus not your first love? Is He not before all else? If so, then why have you taken the manhood of your husband and caused him to be grieved and weakened? Unlike what God wanted? Has God allowed you to take on His manhood and play His role in the home and in the workplace? Has He? Has God ordained you to be the breadwinner? Has not God given that role unto the man? More and more wives and mothers are hitting the workforce all the time. Not only are they taking jobs away from the husbands, but more importantly, they are vacating their responsibility of a mother in the home, as laid out by God's perfect plan. The most important job in life is the mother in the home. The result, mom and dad, identities, well, they become mixed, and the children become confused. The children become confused. Why? Because this is not the way God intended. Whether you realize it or not, you are a role model. You are a role model. Now realize this. God is not so cruel that He would allow no exceptions to His rule. Sometimes poor health and injury can produce what you might call a Mr. Mom situation. I speak only to them who are abusers. There are times when extenuating circumstances may cause otherwise. Do you understand that? God knows this. But the woman does not go out and take the job that the man needs to feed his household. Just because you want a dual income in your family, or buy riches beyond others. Today, with women's lib and rights playing a key role, the once strong male workforce is in rapid decline. It is. And when the mom-dad roles are reversed, then God's agenda is threatened, allowing the devil free and easy access to the home. Again, I speak only to the abusers. Only to the abusers. What about the military? Did God will that women should take up arms to foil the enemy? I think not. And the past will bear that out. Women called to labor in the factories, on the home front, while the men were on the battlefields. This was a crucial part of the great victories achieved. I understand, ladies, this cannot be applied to all women. And God is always full of mercy. Would God send a mentally challenged child to hell? No way. Would God send a child below the age of accountability to hell? No way. Would God send a woman who is alone and must fend for herself to a fiery hell simply because she is forced to do the work of men to feed and keep her family? Not at all. Not if she's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Do not miss my point, ladies, please. Sometimes one must do that which is necessary to sustain life and family. And I'm not talking about running a brothel. Listen well, ladies. Listen well. Sometimes, if you're not saved, you're headed for a Christless hell anyway, if you're not saved. First comes Christ. Then comes the opportunity. That door, they say, knock on the door of opportunity, right? It's right behind Christ, receiving Christ. It's there. If you are not a child of God, then you are a child of the devil. Ooh, that hurts. Yes, it does, and it's meant to. It's time to stop crying at the feet of Satan and begin praying at the feet of God. What I'm doing here is trying to make you understand that which God has delegated unto men is delegated to men. That which is delegated unto women is delegated unto women. If you want to be a role model in your family, then be a role model first for God. The Bible clearly states that we are to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. If you're not saved, if you have not given your life over to Jesus, then naturally you will not care about, at all really, about what I'm saying. You will not care. As far as you're concerned, you're going in one of two directions. You're shooting for the gusto, and you can't care who gets in your way. You'll simply run them over. My dear woman, this is the world's way. The other direction is the way of the Lord God, through faithfulness in prayer and knowing and believing in your heart that God is in control. That God is in control. And that He answers prayer. God does answer prayer. But He does it, and this is important, He does answer prayer in His way and in His time. I've seen myself taken aback because I thought God wasn't even listening to my prayer. You know what? I used to get discouraged and go and sulk somewhere or walk out a lonely path in the woods and say, why me? How come you don't listen to me? Well, let me tell you this. God hears the prayers of His people. He hears, He listens, and He answers. But here's the important phrase, and then I'll end this session of part one. God does it in His time. Not my time, not your time, but in His time. You know, I'm going to stop right there with part one. Because I've got a lot more to disclose, and I'm going to take another sermon for that, which will follow up hopefully next week or the week after. So I want to thank you for listening, and I pray that, you know, if you have any questions, you have anything to say at all about what's been brought to you today in this message, then by all means contact me at tillycomes.net, Battlesite for Christ. I'll be glad to respond to you. Okay, thank you. Be good now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.